This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 5 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. I am JT here with you as always, alongside my best friend in the world, that is Jeffrey Machado. Jeff, how are you?
Good. 5th episode.
That's it.
That's impressive. That's like a record for me. I never got into 5 of anything.
No?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we've made it. Hopefully everyone is enjoying the journey that Jeff has taken. Of course, someone that grew up with zero knowledge of wrestling and is now diving in head on, moving chronologically through WWF history with a sprinkle of other promotions as well. And today, we're going to enter 1987, a big year in WWF history, mainly because WrestleMania 3 was such a big deal. We'll be tackling that next episode. So tonight's all about the build and matches that happened before WrestleMania 3, and then we'll cover 3 next episode. So before we get to the matches, Jeff, anything glaring jump out at you? Any questions lingering about the general scope of the promotion at this time that you want to ask or discuss?
I have some general questions, I guess. Basically, where do these like matchups come from? I mean, the matches I saw, it was like, all right, well, they don't like each other for whatever reason, but like, I don't know, Ricky Steamboat and Savage, for example, why are they even wrestling?
Well,
just because Steamboat wanted to be the Intercontinental Champion?
Yeah, so at that time it was built more on like realistic kind of sports build in theory. So a guy like Steamboat maybe had, you know, won a lot of matches, been kind of undefeated for a while, or at least had a really good record. The president, Jack Tunney, and the board of directors would deem him worthy of a title match because he's been so, you know, been so good for so long, and he was in line for a title match. And sometimes you just get one-off challengers. You know, they may explain it as this guy had an open contract and this so-and-so signed their name to it or threw their name in the hat. Other matches are just made by the matchmaker, which is the president, Jack Tunney. So.
Oh, that was another question I had is McMahon and Gorilla mentioned the president, Jack Tunney, a few times. Is this a real person?
Yes.
Do you ever actually see him?
Yes, you'll see him.
He's not just some figurehead to make McMahon seem like just
He is a figurehead. I mean, he's a real person, but he didn't really wield
it. So he doesn't act... Okay, that makes sense.
So he was a...
President Jack Tunney, they just kept saying
that. It's a good name, though, right? It's a presidential name. So he was a local promoter in Toronto that promoted WWF wrestling for years and years in the Toronto market. And when his promotion got bought out, like many others did, by the WWF, they gave him a job for being kind of a loyal soldier. And it was basically, yes, just a figurehead job. So he was still kind of doing the local promotion for them in the Toronto area, but he's pretty much just a figurehead president because Vince wasn't going to be an on-screen.
Was this buyout hostile in any way? Because there are a couple of these matches I watched that took place in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they kind of kept jabbing at Canada. They were like, there was one part where it's like, let's someone get thrown out of the ring, and Gorilla said something to the effect of, nobody, that's not a place you want to be. And Jesse said, in Canada or on the floor? And Gorilla said, either. And there was a couple of those kind of comments.
Yeah. A lot of times, like Jesse and Gorilla, especially on these shows that are like televised house shows where they're a little bit looser, they will do a lot more like kind of ribbing on their commentary and kind of joking. So it might have just been making jokes at Jack Tunney. I don't think it was hostile on the WWF's part. I mean, the Toronto territory may have been angry that they were getting put out of business. But
it's like, oh yeah, sure, we'll do a show in Toronto. We're just going to make fun of you.
Right. Well, Toronto actually would be a hotbed for WWF for years. Canada as a whole, really Montreal and Toronto, though, do pretty well. And they would run regular shows in Toronto for years and years.
Well, there are a lot of white people. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a good market up there.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we get started that jumped out at you?
Is this the end of Mr. Wonderful? Is this the end of our hero?
It's the end of him as a top draw, like at the top of the card. We'll see him pop up again in a few weeks, probably, some of the stuff we watch. But he's, for all intents and purposes, or intensive purposes, as Joe Smiles once said, they are They are.
I think that was the first ever $5 bet I won.
Yeah, you think so?
Intense versus intensive.
God, that was a layup. Remember that picture of him in the cafeteria where he's like all double chinned? It was like up for years.
I don't remember that. No.
Oh, it was a good one.
He used to make fun of my pillow marks every day, and I thought I just always had pillow marks on my face, and then it turned out that he pointed them out to me, and he was making fun of my chicken pox scars.
Oh.
And he's like, then he felt bad.
He should. That's kind of a douchey thing to say.
I wonder if he's listening. Fuck you, Joe Smeals.
He's probably not listening. So, Paul Orndorff, yes. This is pretty much his last big hoorah before kind of fading a bit down the card.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
You don't hear it pronounced like that very often. That's cool. Last hoorah.
All right, so why don't we talk about that match, and that's the first one we watched, and that was Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. Sorry, his main event, January 1987. If Scott were here, he'd tell you for the millionth time that he was at this show.
Scott was there?
He was there.
Oh, man.
I
actually watched this match twice.
35-year-old Scott Criscolo was at the...
And I'm going to watch it a third time now to see if I can see him. Is he, like, close at all?
I don't think so. Probably not.
I wonder if... Does he still have the goatee? Wait, he's, like, 7 years old? 10 years old? How old is Scott?
Right now, he's, like, in his 40s, so...
Oh, so, yeah, he'd be, like, a little high school age. I probably wouldn't recognize him.
Right. It's the big pompadour. But he, so he was there at this show. So, Paul Orndorff chasing, challenging. They've been feuding since he turned in June-ish, I think it was, June or July. They had a big match at the big events, and then they fight here inside the steel cage. And now, of course, are you happy yet again that we had the blue steel cage?
Yeah, real cage. Real cage, real door. Fake referee.
Correct.
This Danny Davis guy, man. He sucks.
Are you on to Danny Davis yet? Have you? I don't think we've touched too much on him. Yeah, I think they may talk about it here and there still, but...
All I know is that Gorilla really doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And
does that mean you don't like him if Gorilla doesn't like him?
Yeah, for the most part. I kind of go in line with what Gorilla says.
So do you enjoy in the matches aren't Sinead's main event?
Yeah.
Do they feel like extra big to you, like with the sleek production and Vince and Jesse? Does it feel faster to you? Does everything move faster?
Yeah, they kind of move it along because, you know, they got the commercial breaks and they're very clever about those. It's like, oh, well, while he's writhing on the ground, let's go. We'll be right back.
Right.
Then you come back and, you know, does it make sense? What if the match ended during commercial break? That would never happen.
It actually does happen once.
Oh, it's kind of like
purpose.
Like the Heidi Raiders game?
Yeah, kind of. You know, it's legendary.
Can't wait to see that.
All right, so were you... all right, so tell me about this match. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was cool. The first ever tie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, I did not see that coming.
Yep.
And, you know, this is 1987, so the instant replay effects weren't that great, but how they really hit the floor at the same time.
All right.
Like, how did they pull that off? I didn't even see... I watched it a couple times. I actually rewound it. I didn't even see them look at each other.
Right.
Like, you kind of get the... They must have looked across and going, all right, ready, one, two, three, go. And they're also different sizes. They were jumping from a different rung.
So now... So Saturday's main event was taped.
Oh, so they fixed it. Son of a bitch.
So they may have... But it may... Because there is an angle...
Everything is lies!
There is an angle. There is an angle that looks like maybe they did time it really well. But to really get that split
That's why
second.
They put the timer up on the screen. They tricked me. Yeah. Those fuckers.
See? It's working, though. You're buying in.
I did.
By the time we get to 2000, you're going to be like, we all were in 2000. Like, ah, I'm catching this shit on the fly. You know? Right now, you're where we were in 1987, where we just bought into everything.
I thought it was live. I thought it was Saturday Night Live main event.
Yeah, Saturday's main event taped.
Bitch.
So, yes, they timed it very well. And did you like Jesse Ventura's... If Mr. Wonderful was bald, he'd be world champion because Hogan grabs his hair.
That was great, yeah. He grabs his hair.
I mean, Jesse's like on fire throughout this whole match. Just
he is a genius.
Yeah.
My favorite line was, McMahon, I am getting sick and tired of your biased commentary. He's just a master of irony. I love that guy.
He hates Hogan.
And also his comments about the tie, they freeze frame it, and he's like, see... Mr. Wonderful's legs are straight and Hogan's are bent. That means Mr. Wonderful landed first. First of all, that doesn't make any sense. And second of all, they're both bent. They're both in the same exact position.
As Jesse sees what he sees, man. He convinces you of it.
God bless that guy.
Any other thoughts on the match itself? Did you like it compared to the previous match? Did you think it was a little bit better?
Yeah. This one, the brain played a bigger role, which was always exciting. I mean, he's such a little pear-shaped man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a woman's body. Not that that's a bad thing or right. anything, but just to see him get thrown around is, like, really, really funny.
Yeah.
Especially with the steel cage. I mean, he must have some skills, too. Like, at the end when he gets thrown through the door, he went through, like, two of the ring, the ropes,
yeah.
and through the door. That was really hot.
And what's great about Bobby Heenan as a manager is you get some managers that won't, they don't want to get physically involved. They don't want to get hands put on them or, you know, risk getting hurt. But he didn't care. And that's what makes him so great, because the faces would get their comeuppance. Because he's constantly conniving and cheating. But they will get to beat him up and get their payback. Whereas some managers you weren't allowed, you know, you just couldn't do that with. So it added that extra nuance to Heenan where you knew if the guy got their hands on him, they could make him pay and he'd take a shit kicking. And it's been a theme, remember? He got beat up at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
Hogan, he vowed revenge. He got his best friend Paul Orndorff to turn on him.
It sort of gives some weight to his words and his taunting, because he gets beaten up and that just makes him want to, like, stick it to the guy even more, you know?
Right.
It's not just like he's a big jackass trying to get the belt.
So he got Paul Orndorff, his best friend, to turn on him, embarrass him. And now Hogan dispatches of Orndorff and beats up Bobby Heenan again. So what's Heenan got next up his sleeve? We'll find out soon. But so any other thoughts on this match itself? Was it a fitting end to this feud? Are you glad we're moving on? There are people that have thought maybe they should have pulled Hogan Orndorff out until WrestleMania to have it be the main event there. Do you think it would have had gas to get to that far? Or do you feel like this was kind of a good time to wrap it up?
I think this was a good time, especially since it was the first event in the main event. I was like, all right, great. We get to see this. Obviously, Hogan's going to win. But, you know, it wasn't too
predictable.
Yeah. They did a good job. And I also liked how they took a insurance policy out in the belt.
Yes.
That was a nice little touch. Like, oh, now I'm going to lose fake money because I was wrong.
Right.
Also, I really hated, because you know how much I love Jesse. I thought there was a possibility that Orndorff would win this fight
mm-hmm.
and that they would meet up back at WrestleMania, because he's like, I guarantee there'll be a new champion. And he was wrong. So now his words mean nothing.
Right.
Well, I was like, oh, that's kind of a thing, because, you know, he's got, you know, some clout.
Yeah. Well, he's got his convictions, you know.
But he's just some guy.
Just somebody used to know.
Some douchebag.
Yes, so Hogan Orndorff ends here. I had a point in my mind that has been gone since you trashed Jesse now. Fleed my mind.
That's what I'm quickly. Here for.
Yeah, to destroy my mind. All right, so, oh, that was what I was going to say. Sonny's main event. So you mentioned that this match was first to start things off. And the reason they did that was because the show started at 11:30 Eastern time. So they would always get the...
So the viewers would taper off as it went on.
Correct. So they would always have the big match first to make sure it got seen. And then as the show moved on, they'd kind of fill in the garbage match. So it's counterintuitive. It's like the opposite of most cards that they would run, where the main event opens the show.
It's tough for me watching all this stuff on demand, because it's hard to keep a track of the timeline.
Right.
So if I was 7 years old and I was watching this on January 3rd, then I'd have to wait, you know, a month or whatever to the next thing. But
right.
I'll probably just have to keep asking you, all right, so that was after this or right. whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, once we get past the shit you watched in episode one, everything will just be moving forward. So nothing will be before anything else that we're watching. But the time-space continuum of, like, when Hogan turned on Orndorff was, like, July of 86, and this is January of 87. So that gives you a reference for how long they were, you know, going across the country and fighting.
So Hogan's main feud for the past year has been Orndorff.
Well, the past 6 months. He was with Bundy at WrestleMania 2, if you remember.
All right, so the steel cage with Bundy.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
And then so then he teamed up with Orndorff in the summer.
Yeah, spring. And he took some time off, too. Like, he wasn't working a ton.
So he hasn't had any other title fights except for the Bundy fight before this one.
Right. He may have just, like, on local shows. But as far as, like, canon, televised canon in the WWF, he pretty much went from Bundy to Orndorff.
Canon. I like that.
Yeah.
It legitimizes it. It makes it, like, you know.
Right.
Powerful pop culture.
Well, that happens a lot with WWF/WWE. Like, if it doesn't, basically the rule of thumb is if it didn't happen on TV, it didn't happen. So he might have fought someone in Providence at a house show. It wasn't televised. It didn't really count, basically.
Wait. So, like, Hulk Hogan, mm-hmm. the champions, the main guys, they would fight non-televised fights?
Yeah, locally, because that was the draw to get you to come out and watch.
I thought they would guys. At least be televised. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So there are some Hulk Hogan fights from when he was champion that you cannot see.
Correct.
Are there people that No, they didn't have flip phones back then.
Right.
So now, these messages don't exist.
As we move forward, there were fan cams where people would sneak in, like, video cameras and record, like, handhelds.
Like, old school bootleg stuff.
Yeah. So there are, like, matches out there, great matches that were captured on fan cam footage that exists. So...
Is there a... You just mentioned the canon. Is there a written record? Is there, like, a wrestling Bible that lists every single match?
Graham Cawthon's your man. The history of WWE.com. He has spent... It's not really up to date anymore because he's kind of moved on from it. But from the beginning of time until, like, 2014 or whatever, he would go through and pull results from magazines, from watching tapes. And he has an archive that it says every match listed from every show. So we can check that out if you want.
I wish I hadn't asked that question because now my life is over.
I actually have the printed versions as well. He made printed copies that we bought as to help support the man. So I'll have to...
That's great because now I can take those from you and read them and put a cover on them so that my fiance will think that I'm actually reading.
You're just going to put like chemistry, like it's a school book?
Yeah, like you know, Einsteinian physics or something.
Yeah. Pre-calc. Nat Squatrito.
That's what it's all about.
All right, next up, we watched Randy Savage take on George the Animal Steel, the Intercontinental title. So this feud had been going on for a while, basically a year at this point. So they wrestled at WrestleMania 2. George Steel was obsessed with Miss Elizabeth. They did like a real kind of Tarzan Jane kind of thing. No, not Tarzan Jane, but King Kong.
King Kong and the blonde. Or
does she have a name, that chick in King Kong?
She does have a name. I don't know what it is.
Christy.
Of Mice and Men, was it Lenny? And I forget her name too.
So you got the dumb beast, and you have like the beautiful princess that's with the evil Macho Man, and he is like smitten with her. It's like Jim and the Picasso's Waitress.
There's a point where the animal asks Elizabeth to go on a cruise with him. She politely declines,
and then he gets banned. Yes, that's what happens. So. So Steel is like just smitten with Liz, and him and Savage have this year-long battle where Savage just keeps beating on George Steel because he's basically obsessed with his woman and won't go away. I personally do not like George Steel. I personally hate George Steel. I think he is annoying and useless and doesn't have any good matches. Randy Savage is one like my favorite of all time, and in my eyes, even his matches with George Steel suck. And not even the greatness of Randy Savage can pull up George Steel.
Is he your favorite, even with his heel era?
Yes. Randy Savage.
So you're just into the whole like big robe thing? And
everything.
The pomp and circumstance?
He's my favorite.
Okay.
So what did you think of this match? Did you pick up on that Steel sucked?
No, I like George Steel. Why haven't I seen this guy before? Now I know why. I was just going to ask that question. It's because you don't like him.
In fairness, you are 7 right now.
He's so cool. First of all, you try to act like you can't even speak. That's hard to do.
He was a teacher. Did you know that?
That's amazing. How do you not like this guy? Why is his tongue green?
Because he's fucking stupid. That's why. He ate turnbuckles too. Did he eat a turnbuckle in this match? I don't remember.
He ate like 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah, that's
why. He likes to use the stuffing, but the stuffing doesn't seem to affect anybody in any way.
Right, he just rammed it in their face. He's an
idiot.
He
gave Miss Elizabeth a miniature of himself. That is hilarious.
that was the like,
and Gorilla,
equivalent of
Gorilla was touched by it. He was like, oh, he wants to give himself to Elizabeth.
So Steel was kind of a nasty heel for many years. And then he gets turned on.
The Gentle Giant, yeah.
Yeah, he gets turned on. He hooks up a Lou Albano. And there's some stuff that they did where he goes to, like psychotherapy and shit, like where they do, like, neuro-shocking of a system, like, to try and get him to be smart and all the stupid stuff. But whatever, right? Whatever.
I thought it was cool. I mean, this match was fun because Jesse... Oh. Because for the first time, Jesse brought up the possibility of imprisonment. Which, you know, you basically can have everything I've watched so far. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
You can, like, step on a guy's head. You can hit him with a megaphone or a bell. I guess that's later stuff. But, you know, like, really bad stuff these people are allegedly doing to each other. But now you got a kidnapping. So now he's like, oh, they're going to go to jail because they kidnapped Miss Elizabeth. First of all, I don't think I saw how the kidnapping was resolved. What happened to Miss Elizabeth when he took her away? Did he just, like, put her in the locker room somewhere?
Yeah, probably. Just for mind games. He didn't want to get arrested, George Steel. I wish he did, so he'd never show up again. So what did you think of Savage in this match?
I thought he was kind of a dick. Like, he, you know, Steele basically dominated the whole thing, and then one quick... what did he do? Did he hit him with the bell?
No, he hit him with the... yeah, he hit him with the bell.
He hit him with the bell.
Yeah.
Knocked him out.
Yeah.
How do you not like the sweet moment of Ricky Steamboat coming out and massaging the animal's head? Just massaging him back. It's like, no, it's okay. Someday he'll get with Miss Elizabeth. It was so cute.
The...
It was kind of homoerotic, actually.
Jesse calling Steele an ignorant fool. It was great. His delivery of every jab is the best.
Yeah, there's no comparison to that guy.
He's an ignorant fool, McMahon. So Steamboat, him coming back, I'm guessing you watched this before the clip I added on. We'll talk about later. But so did it not make as much sense?
Yeah, so I'm kind of piecing this in reverse time-wise because
the build-up you saw after. Yeah. So this was his return.
That didn't make any sense to me at the time, but now it does.
Okay.
They were like, his first of all, they all kept calling it the larynx.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they should brush up on that. Or at least have the fake doctors figure out what the word is.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Ricky Steamboat, man. First of all, is his name really Steamboat? Because this really didn't occur to me, but he's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Right.
Which is like two nicknames. You could easily just switch it. Ricky the Steamboat Dragon.
So his actual real name is a great wrestling name too. Richard Blood.
Richard Blood?
That's his real name.
His real name is Blood and he didn't keep that?
Right. But the funny part is Richard Blood is such a heel name, but he is one of the greatest baby faces of all time. He actually never turns. He's babyface his entire career.
He couldn't possibly turn. You know why? Because I was watching this guy and I'm like, he should be in the Karate Kid. And then they just keep talking about karate. I didn't even realize like that was his specialty. He's just like, he looks like a character from the Karate Kid. And he's like, I don't know, he is like impervious to anything. He's like on cocaine all the time. He's just dancing around. He's got some really cool moves too. He does this like the chop thing. I think what match am I thinking? I think it was the Harley
six
race
man
match.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'll wait for that one then.
So remember last episode where you said you wanted someone to believe in. And, like, someone to care about and get behind. And I said to the someone coming, Ricky Steamboat was that someone. Because he's so lovable. He's so great.
Well, you shouldn't have had me watch those.
those are the best. Well, we got to save that for the end. That's going to be the last thing we talk about.
Okay.
All right. So that was pretty much it from this Saturday Night's Main Event. Anything you want to talk about between either of those two matches or anything else you saw on that show before we move on?
So Elizabeth never gets with the animal. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
That's kind of sad. I mean, I was half expecting her to just, like, hug him or give him a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Because Savage is a douche.
So go with someone else. Don't go with fucking George Steele. What's he going to do?
It's unexpected. It gives all those fat kids with the hairy backs out there hope that they can, if they just wash their tongue, they can approach the hot girl.
Reminds me of Stop and Shop. You know, he would have been the bagger that was really into the hot cashier. Go get carriages, George Steele.
That's what I feel right now. I feel like not an adult.
Do you feel like the hot waitress at Picasso should have went on the cruiser gym? Do you feel like that?
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Was she maybe giving him some thought and he just kind of jumped the gun a little bit with the cruise tickets?
No, I don't think so.
Does Jim listen to this show?
Probably not.
Okay. That's like my biggest future life coach moment.
To get him something?
Yes. If you fall in love with a waitress, do not buy tickets to a cruise, especially if she has a large boyfriend who works at the place that you are eating at. Rule number one of Jeff's life coach manual.
There is no sex in the restaurant kitchen. All right. So now we head to a house show, and this is a big six-man match between Roddy Piper, the Junkyard Dog, and Ricky Steamboat taking on Harley Race, Adrian Adonis, your boy, and Randy Savage. And this was a Chad Campbell selection thrown out there because it's just a fun six-man. You get to kind of see, you know, as you build to WrestleMania 3, these were three feuds that were building. So you had Steamboat and Savage, Piper and Adonis, and Race and Junkyard Dog. They all had individual feuds going on into WrestleMania 3. So they stick them all together in a six-man here. Race was the king, now King Harley Race. Adrian Adonis still doing his adorable stuff with the drag. Roddy Piper had returned. Remember, we talked about last episode where they planted the seed in the flower shop where Adrian Adonis turned Piper spit into the flower shop. Piper eventually came back from making They Live and destroyed the flower shop with a crutch because they had beat the shit out of him the week before and busted up his leg. And he comes out and just destroys it with the crutch, and that sets us up for their feud for WrestleMania 3.
A very strong crutch. A well-built crutch.
It was a well-built. Did they show that clip on here at all, or have you seen it?
There's a brief little freeze frame of him hitting Adonis with the crutch.
You'll see it at WrestleMania when you watch WrestleMania 3. All right, so thoughts on this big six-man tussle?
Well, shout out to Chad Campbell, because this was awesome.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah. So from the beginning, I've been critical of the tag team matches.
Right.
This was cool because it was an elimination match. All right, now there's something I can get behind. Right. That makes a lot of sense. You got three guys on the same team. They have to go down, and then they're eliminated, and so on and so on. That makes sense, as opposed to people just constantly tagging in and out and cheating, and one team wins. Oh, so what?
Right.
So, yeah, I love this. This was a lot of fun. But they also mentioned that this was going to be the last tag team match for Roddy Piper. So that was kind of like stunning. I thought I had many more years of Roddy Piper matches, and now he's retiring. Why would he retire? He's in such good shape.
He wants to go to Hollywood and make movies after They Live. He wants to go be a movie star.
Does that work out?
No, because you'll see many more Roddy Piper matches in the future. So this was his match with Adrian Adonis is dubbed a retirement match. Either way, it's his farewell match. So, yeah, that was a good sell. That is his last tag team match ever, because his last match ever is coming up at WrestleMania 3. We won't see him for 2 years, but he will eventually be back.
Oh, cool. So I'm happy again.
Okay, good.
I was going to come back next show with like a Roddy Piper tribute. But you just ruined it for me, so...
Well, that would have been like what happened, I guess, then, right? People paid tribute to him. So what else would you think about this match besides that?
It was, as Gorilla would say, pandemonium. Mm-hmm. The referee was basically useless.
Yep.
Guys in and out, like, constantly. It was great. Adonis actually impressed me. He had a couple really good moves. He had this amazing suplex on, I think it was Steamboat, where I thought that he actually broke his back, like in real life. But no, he didn't, because he's in good shape.
And Steamboat's a great seller. The Adonis is so underrated. And like I've said before, if you look at that gimmick, you may think, yeah, you know, he's fat, he's wearing the drag thing. But he's really good at bumping around and has good offense. And even just the way like he falls around the ring, in the ring, to the floor and all that is...
I was impressed.
Yeah, he's really good.
The Junkyard Dog. I remember as a kid, he's one of the few figures I recall knowing who he was. And, you know, rooting for him because his name was a Junkyard Dog and he wore a chain and he had a dog.
Yes.
But after watching this fight, like the whole headbutting thing and the crawling on all fours thing, like you don't have to literally be a dog.
Yeah.
You can just be doggish in your mannerisms. But to actually, like, that's your move is to
and
be...
And growl and stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of dumb. And also, I got the impression that he has a hard head.
He does. Well, here's the thing you'll learn in 1980s WWF. Every black and Samoan wrestler have a hard head.
Yeah, do not go for the headbutt because it doesn't faze him.
Right, hard heads.
He's got a hard head.
They all have thick skulls and big suction cup feet.
Is this the match that Slick was commentating on? Or was that a
different one? No, it was this one. I meant to ask what you thought about him.
Okay, so...
No, actually, was it this one?
Hang on. Or was this just something I skipped ahead on from the...
No, there was one he commentated on. I thought it was this match, but maybe not. Because it doesn't say. I'm looking at Graham Cawthon's site right now. I mean, it doesn't say it. But there was definitely one he commented on. And I thought he was really good. I thought it was this match.
I think it is, actually.
Yeah.
Because he kept calling the Junkyard Dog stupid. And I'm like, this is so racist. Because they brought a black guy in just so they could call Junkyard Dog stupid.
Oh, yeah, he's
without
really good.
Being racist.
Junkyard Dog can't read.
That is clearly a lie. You call me a liar?
That was wicked fucking
funny. I have seen Junkyard Dog read before.
He kept saying it. But then he worked it in later. I can't remember what the hell did he say where he worked it into the conversation after. He's like, yeah, that's because he can't read.
That's because he can't read, yeah. Just going at him.
It was really well done. Slick was really funny in that match. What'd you think of Harley?
Harley, okay, so the king thing. Yeah. I don't understand. Is there always a king? Because I watched Man on the Moon about the Andy Kaufman thing. I know that there was a king, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
So is there a king after him? Is there always a king? Does the king have any? Is it like akin to a belt?
Okay.
Where do you get anointed? Can you just call yourself the king?
So Jerry Lawler, you're going to take out of the conversation because he just proclaimed himself king of Memphis where he was wrestling. So he's like the king of Memphis.
Oh, so that's like the pre-national days.
Right. So that's just where he is. And he's still the king. So Harley Race comes in.
There's no king before Harley Race.
Not in the WWF, correct.
Okay.
So he comes in from the NWA, where he had been forever. He was world champion. One of the greats. He comes in, and he's handsome Harley Race, which is funny, because
he's so ugly.
Like. Yeah, he's an ugly brute of a man.
Jesus.
And
any other word that started with H, it just would have been that.
Right. Huggable Harley Race?
Fine.
Handjob Harley Race?
Works for me.
Okay. Do you think he'd be giving or getting?
Probably both.
Okay. So handsome Harley Race comes in, and they eventually make him, they say he's so great and whatever, he starts calling himself the king, and they have the first ever King of the Ring tournament. I think the first ever one was the year before, and then they have another one, he wins, and he kind of takes it literally and basically crowns himself king.
Is this like a Royal Rumble? A bunch of guys, you throw them all?
No, it was an actual tournament, like a 16-man tournament.
Oh.
That he won.
Who was in this tournament that he won?
I'd have to pull it up. I could pull it up.
I don't need, like, exact, but real people?
Yeah, so they always took, yeah, they were real people. So they always took place, actually, either in Foxborough or Providence for the first few years that they existed. It was just kind of a summertime thing. And so they would do those shows. Harley Race won, became king. Once he became king, it actually does become like a belt for, like, the next 5 years or so.
So if you beat the king, then you become the king.
If the crown is on the line in the match. It wasn't always on the line.
Okay. So what if Hulk Hogan wrestled the king? Could he be the king and the champion?
If the crown was up for grabs.
Is it vulgar to wear the belt and the crown at the same time?
No. So Harley Race defeated Pedro Morales in the finals of the 1986 tournament at Sullivan Stadium in Foxborough. The first one was in 1985 in Foxborough as well. Don Morocco won that one.
Ooh, Terry Funk was in it. Who beat Terry Funk?
He was in 85. He lost to Tito Santana.
Tito Santana. I told you he sucked.
Tito's awesome, though. That's a tough loss.
No, I'm saying Terry Funk just sucks.
So he did another one in 1987, another one in 1988. These were in Providence, 89 in Providence. They skip 90, do 191 in Providence, and then that's it. Then it becomes an actual pay-per-view later on. So we'll get to that down the line. So Harley Race is your king for now. We'll see where that goes, but it will eventually be up for grabs at times.
I should ask you, before I get into my thoughts on Harley Race, are you watching all this stuff live as a 7, 8, 9-year-old?
No, I didn't start watching until I was 10, 1990. Well, I was 9, I guess, 9 and a half.
All right, so all the WrestleManias 1, 2, and 3, I had to go back and watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And don't forget, at the time when I was getting into wrestling, there wasn't a lot of footage, so I rented WrestleMania 3, 4, like a ton.
On tape?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I just know them so well from watching them a million times because we had such limited footage to watch. I rewatched it stuff like shitloads of times. So
that's so cool. I really wish I could go to a video store and rent WrestleMania.
You probably could somewhere if you go to like
it's like different.
Iowa
it's different watching it like on demand.
You can go to my closet over here. I have everything on tape.
Really?
If you prefer. Do you have a VCR?
I might be able to scrounge one up in grandmother's house or something.
Oh, if you prefer to watch it on tape, you can.
All right, so Harley Race is a really bad talker. He just kind of sounds like this and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, ugh.
So I don't think he's bad. He just came from an era where that's what you did.
He's just kind of being lapped by the guys who...
Right. Like, he just comes from an era where you talk very slow and serious to get your point across.
See, I'm more impressed with the animal just saying one word.
Yeah.
Surprise! And he grabs Mean Gene, throws him up to the camera. Come on, that's awesome.
Yeah, really great.
He's okay. One thing that he's really good at is flipping over the ropes.
Yes.
He can make his body straight
yeah.
and flip, do a 360. This happened at least 5-6 times in yeah. the 2 matches I saw. And no one else does it like this guy. It's like, how does he do it? It's like he takes one little blow and he goes completely vertical without bending any part of his body. He's like a little, one of those little bobble toys that you put in the water.
Right.
It's like, doo, 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 over the rope. I can't watch it enough. It's great.
And he's a really good seller too, like Adrian Adonis, where he can, you know, flop around. And for an old bastard that's been around forever, he does some crazy stuff too. He was doing shit that other guys weren't doing, like headbutts off the top rope and like, you know, like really taking hard falls and bumps for a guy his age that probably shouldn't have been taken.
So you're saying, is he alive?
He is alive.
Okay, good.
I don't think he can walk, but he's alive.
This is the worst part of the show for me, is watching all the stuff and then being like, are these people still alive?
Yeah.
Are these people arrested? Are these people secretly racist?
I mean, in the era you're in, this is obviously more people that are dead. I mean, that's, you know, we're all talking 30-ish years ago now.
I keep telling myself not to ask, but it's like, it's hard not to.
I know.
It's disturbing.
Well, you know Randy Savage is dead, right?
Really?
You didn't know that?
Wait, did we go over this already?
Maybe. He died in a car accident.
A car accident?
Well, he had a heart attack and then died in the car accident.
Oh, so he died of the heart attack.
Yeah.
Would he have died anyway? Did they do like a thorough autopsy?
Yeah, I guess so. He died of a heart attack and then got a car accident. His wife
is lived. Miss... Oh. So...
No, she's dead.
Miss Elizabeth is dead.
She had a rough end. Right. I don't know if you want to hear about that until we're done seeing her on TV.
So not only did Randy Savage's wife live, but it wasn't Miss Elizabeth, and she's dead.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's a dark business. It's a tough one.
Yikes.
All right, any other thoughts on the sixth man? What'd you think of Steamboat? What'd you think of Piper?
Let's see. How did it go down exactly? We got the dog and somebody got counted out, right? Was it Adonis?
Dog and Adonis, yes.
They got counted out, so that was okay.
Whatever. And then Race pinned Steamboat because Savage costs them. He flips over the small
package.
Oh,
yeah, he pushes the small package. Yes. That is my favorite name for a move ever. And then here's you with the small package.
I used to always try and do that as a kid. I can never really. It's a tough move to do until you really understand the mechanics.
It's like a yoga position, really, yeah. For two people. It's like the yib yam in the Karma Sutra, which I've never dared to try, but I will someday. On my 40th birthday.
Try with yib Scott.
Yam. Yeah. Something like that.
Then Roddy Piper pinned Race when Savage accidentally hit him.
Right.
And then.
So then it's Piper against Savage.
Right.
And who ends up winning?
Piper. Piper definitely won the match. No, I'm sorry. Wait, Savage. Yeah, Piper pinned Savage with a small package.
Oh, you got the small package on.
Yeah, to win the match.
I can never tell when the small package is good enough.
Right, you got to really cinch it in. So the Piper, it was cool that they gave him the win here because it was his last tag match, but his last appearance in Madison Square Garden, where he was like a legend of MSG. He had tons of memorable matches and moments, was beloved there, even as a heel. So this is kind of his farewell moment, and
he is awesome. He is so hyper; like his punches are awesome. He just knows how everything he does is good.
Ball of energy. So that was a really cool moment. I thought that they gave him the win, especially over Savage, who doesn't lose a ton clean unless it's Hogan. So this match went 20 minutes.
That should be on his tombstone.
Did it feel?
Did really good. Parentheses. Unless it's Hogan,
and that really sums up his whole career. Did it feel like 20 minutes to you?
No, that one...
It moves quick, right?
Yeah. That's the cool thing about the format.
Right.
Like a 20-minute straight tag team match. It's kind of like, when's this going to end? But yeah, it was a...
Did Slick help it move along?
It did, yeah.
Junkyard Dog can't read, brother. All right, why don't we do this? Let's take a break. We're halfway through.
He doesn't even know he's supposed to live.
We got two more matches to talk about, and then we're going to talk about a legendary feud. We'll do that when we come back on this break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Warm atomically, Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery, flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scarred, shogun, explosion when my pen hits. Tremendous, ultraviolet, shine blind forensics. I inspect you through the future, see millennium. Killer bees sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Shackling the matches with drastic.
All right, we are back. Jeff Learns Wrestling Episode 5, looking at early 1987, leading into WrestleMania 3, which we'll cover next episode in full. Jeff's in the process of watching that. A lot of excitement. Maybe pandemonium here on Jeff Learns Wrestling.
Pandemonium, Jess.
All right, so we got two matches left and a feud to talk about. We're going to head to Toronto, February 15, 1987, for our last two matches. First one we're going to talk about is a tag match featuring the champions, but the tag titles are not on the line. And that is the Heart Foundation against the Killer Bees. The Heart Foundation is the champs. Would you like me to start with that, how they became champions? Or would you piece that together at all?
Yeah, how come I didn't see any of this Heart Foundation comeuppance?
So they've been around for like a year, almost 2 years. And they came in right after WrestleMania 1 around then.
Do they ever wrestle individually, or are they related to Jimmy?
They're not related to Jimmy. Jimmy manages them.
They just have the same name?
Right. So Jimmy's a different Hart. So Bret Hart, I mean, you know Bret Hart. Bret the Hitman Hart.
I am familiar.
So he'll become a singles guy eventually. Jim the Anvil Neidhart is his brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law?
Yes.
In the sense that
he married
Anvil's sister, or Anvil married his sister?
Anvil married Bret's sister.
Oh.
So there's 12 Hart kids in the Stu Hart family. Stu and Helen Hart are the parents. Bret Hart and Owen Hart, you've probably
heard
Stu
and Helen also wrestlers?
Stu was.
Okay.
And he was a promoter of Stampede Wrestling in Calgary for decades. And eventually, Vince bought them out, and part of the deal was that the British Bulldogs, Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart, would come to the WWF. So they all came down from Calgary, where they trained and worked.
Man, it's like the friggin' prostitution ring over here.
Pretty much.
Trading people.
That's all it was, especially in those days. So Bret was kind of the centerpiece, but at this point, it's, you know, part of the team is he's not the best talker. He's a great in-ring guy. Anvil's kind of the...
He's very good-looking.
He is, yeah. You think he's a handsome guy?
He's very handsome.
Okay.
He should be the handsome Hitman Hart.
Instead of Harley Race?
And it could be... Or it could be Hitman...
Hitman Harley Race.
Hitman Harley Race. I think that would have been better, yeah.
You think handsome Bret Hart would have been as big of a star as he was?
Bret the Handsome Man Hart.
Bret the Handsome Hart?
Now we're talking.
All right. So they are now the tag team champions. They made their way up, and they upset the British Bulldogs, who had been champions since we saw that match with Ozzy Osbourne. The British Bulldogs forever!
That's right. The Bulldogs were champions. Yep. What the heck happened? What the heck? It wasn't interesting enough for me to have seen this?
No. So the reason they lost was Danny Davis, the crooked referee, finally revealed his colors and cost the Bulldogs the match and revealed that he was working for Jimmy Hart and becomes a wrestler, as we'll see going forward.
But he's like half the size of all the other wrestlers. Right.
So it ends up kind of being like a real heated gimmick because he's this little shrimp that cost the Bulldogs the match. And in a genius move, they go back and retcon that he cost Tito Santana on purpose. If you remember, we talked about that when I said keep in mind that Danny Davis was the referee when Tito got screwed by Macho Man when he punches him with the foreign objects and he wins the title.
Yeah.
So they went back and then kind of added that to the story and said, oh, Danny Davis cost Tito Santana and the British Bulldogs, you know, even though at the time that wasn't really the plan. It just kind of worked out that he was a referee in that match.
It worked out that he's a wicked jackass and he just looks like one of those guys you want to punch.
Pretty much. So we'll see more of him next week at WrestleMania 3. But so the Hart Foundation is champions. They don't have to defend the titles here because they used the match was signed before they became champions. So they're not required to put the titles on the line. This match was already inked to take place in Toronto. And then the Hart Foundation won the titles.
Ah, so when the match is being negotiated, part of the negotiation has to be the title shot.
Unless the team has earned a title match and is given it by the committee. But here they felt, all right, the match was already signed. It's not fair to make the Harts put the belts on the line. They didn't have them yet when this was signed.
Do the Killer Bees ever actually get a title defense, a title shot?
They do. They get title shots. They don't ever win the titles. But the tag division...
So this wasn't a joke in the 80s, the fact that these men are wearing print
underwear?
I don't
know. I mean, I don't think so, because they're pretty good. They're really good, the Killer Bees. And this is a time where it's tough for them because the tag division gets really deep, really fast in 87 and 88. Like, there's a lot of good teams. And they just weren't marquee enough to get a title run. But there's many years where they would have been the best team in the group later on.
So does the Hart Foundation take a hold of the title, like, in the vein of Hulk Hogan?
No, they'll have it for a bit. But not for, like, years.
So they actually have powerful rivals.
Yes.
That's cool.
And they have a rivalry with the Bulldogs that continues for a while here in 87.
Well, I hope so, because a lot of these matches are tag team matches, and I would like to get on board with the tag team matches.
Okay. Well, we'll get more going on that. There's a lot of WrestleMania 3, so you'll see a lot of tag action there. All right, so let's talk about the Beasts really quick. Did you like the Beasts? Beyond just them wearing the Bumblebee tights.
They were pretty good. They had some good moves, some good, like, shoulder throw things and suplexes. What's the move where you just hook the guy with the arm and
hip toss?
The hip toss. They had some good. They were good at that. I didn't care for the masks halfway through,
as if
it could be. You could not tell them apart just from the mask. I mean, they had two completely different builds and bodies.
Yeah. Well, the referee's lost in the moment. He can't tell what's going on.
No! You don't know who's legal now. They got the masks on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was their gimmick. The confusion. The mask confusion there. And then they actually end up winning the match. Were you surprised?
I was extremely surprised. I guess I could have seen it coming because at the beginning, the mouth of the South is like, this is not a title match. I was like, all right, maybe they're going to lose. But why would they lose? I don't know. And the other thing, this was in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
What was up with the stage coming right level with the ring?
Yeah, that's a Toronto thing. Where they just have the ramp come right to the ring. Did you like it? I like it. It's more performance. You know, you get to see them up on the stage. They can fight on it sometimes. And it's really just a Toronto thing. WCW would use it for years later on, but
you can't really run around the ring, though.
True.
There's a lot of running around the ring, I've noticed.
Yeah, you can only go so far.
It was cool. Like, you get thrown out of the ring, and then you're, like, on a stage, and it's like, you know, Britney Spears.
Right.
When she goes out to the crowd, but you're actually beating a guy up. It was weird. It was strange to me.
Toronto's strange.
Canada's strange.
Yeah.
Just kidding. All those Canadian listeners out there.
There's probably quite a few. Did you like Jim Brunzell's dropkick?
He's
like a master of the dropkick. I don't know if you picked up on it at all.
Is that the one? Did he kick somebody out of the ring?
I think so, yeah. He just gets really good height and snap on it.
So he's like the Babe Ruth of drop kicking.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you go that far. Maybe like the...
Well, who is the Babe Ruth of drop kicking?
I don't know. Antonino Rocca.
That's impressive that you had an answer for that.
Yeah. I don't know if he really was, but yeah, I mean, Brunzell's probably like the, I don't know, Hank Aaron, maybe.
I thought it was interesting because they were praising the dropkick, but then in the previous match, they were like, you can't use karate when Steamboat was going nuts.
Right.
And isn't a dropkick kind of like karate?
Yes. What karate was he using? Usually they say you can't do like a thrust to the throat. That's probably the karate they were talking about.
Like, yeah, he was doing a lot of choppy stuff.
Yeah, like that. Usually you can't hit someone in the throat. That's illegal. In theory, even though everyone does it.
Yeah, I am. I mean, Macho Man's good at it.
Okay, so the Heart Foundation, did you like them as a team? Did you think they worked well together? Do you see them as championship level?
Yeah, they tagged in and out frequently. They both seemed to be pretty strong. And one thing I noticed was that they kept doing the camel clutch and no one thought it was a big deal.
Right.
So, like, 5 years before, the camel clutch was this unbeatable move, and now it's not, A, not called the camel clutch, and B, well, no one is, like, oh, he's got him in a throat hold. No.
Well, there's two different, they're doing it differently. So a camel clutch, your arms are on the guy's knees, but your back is like that.
Uh-huh.
What they were doing is a reverse chin lock where the guy's either fully seated, his arms aren't up on the knees, or he's on all fours, and they're just sitting on his back.
Oh, so it's not as serious.
Right. So a camel clutch is you're being arched up and your arms are over the guy's knees as he's sitting on your back.
Okay. Well, I just look like a total idiot there, don't I?
No, that's how you learn. There's all stupid questions.
I am such an amateur.
Just stupid comments. like George Steele's good. The Hearts, anything else on this match? Did you like the match? This is another Chad Campbell selection.
It was very quick. I thought it was funny that Gorilla and Jimmy got into it live. That was pretty cool, especially since Gorilla is really good at calling the match. Now he was yelling at Jimmy and calling the match at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, there wasn't really much else to it. I like their pink outfits.
Yeah, makes them stand out. So just a good snapshot of the tag division. I think that's really all that was meant to be. All right, so we have one match left, but we also are going to talk about the feud that leads up to it. And that is what we referenced earlier, Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage. So we're going to watch, we watched their match from Toronto on the same card, February 15th. Obviously, they're roaring into WrestleMania. And it all started back in late 1986 when Randy Savage attacked Ricky Steamboat during a match and slammed his throat against the guardrail and then slammed into it with the bell and put Steamboat on the shelf where they'd injured
Larynx.
Larynx. what did you start with the attack? What did you think of the attack?
Well, I only saw a clip. I didn't see the whole match. But basically, Steamboat is laying over the railing.
Yep.
So, how much of it can really be Macho Man's fault? I mean, he's laying over the railing on his throat. Just get off the railing.
Yeah. But what do you think of Savage then doubling down and hitting him in the throat with the bell?
Well, yeah, I guess after the match was over, he didn't need to do that.
Right, yeah.
And maybe
so that's where the crushing happened, you know?
This whole using the bell thing, I guess, becomes a theme. Maybe they should just nail the bell down somewhere.
Don't let him use it.
Yeah. That was kind of rough.
The so then Steamboat gets taken out. He's off TV, and he goes... He is going through speech pathology, speech therapy.
Who's the guy who attacks Savage? He's like standing outside.
Oh,
the,
Bruno Sammartino.
Who's this guy's deal?
So he's a legend. Like, he's like one of the greatest of all time, Bruno Sammartino. And at this point of his career, he's just kind of an analyst. And him and Savage had issue throughout 1986. They'd have a few matches here and there where Bruno would kind of come out of retirement. And
because Sammartino was also in love with Miss Elizabeth?
No. He's just awesome. But he just doesn't like Savage. Sammartino's a man's man. So he just doesn't...
he's not macho.
Well, he's not so macho man.
He's a chivalrous man.
He's a chivalrous man. He's a man's man. He doesn't want any bullshit, any nonsense. And he doesn't like the way Savage acts, carries himself in the ring. Bruno's a man of class. I thought that added to it, didn't you? When he like Savage comes to the back and Bruno gets so mad, this classy, regal guy gets so angry at him that he like fucking snaps and goes after him.
Yeah, it was great because he was playing it so well, like... Ricky Steamboat, we do not have any further word, but he is being attended to. He was like doing the whole thing. He's like, he's hanging his head. It's kind of like Brokaw 9/11, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, this guy's going to start crying. And then Savage comes like, oh, what's he doing back there? Just like, when he goes after him, it's great. He's like, oh, I'm going to get you.
Yeah, like, I've had enough.
It's like that punk who gets slapped by the old guy, you know, at the party. Just
right.
Like, enough of this young kid. I'm just like nonsense. This old grizzled sumbitch. It was awesome.
So what did you think of Steamboat's speech therapy and the doctor, you know, showing off the x-rays and all that?
Man. I mean, if they're going to interview doctors, they just, I mean, we all saw ER.
Yeah.
Well, none of those people
we hadn't doctors. Yet at that point.
We hadn't yet. No, but, you know. They took it to another level. Okay, there you go, MASH. Alan Alda spoke some very, you know, intricate medical speak. And Gene's like, so what can you tell us about the physical condition of Ricky Steamboat? And the doctor's like, well, he got hurt real bad. Like, no, that's we all right. saw that he got hurt really bad, you know? And then the speech therapist... Okay, this is very expensive speech therapy. Yes. You are a professional athlete, and now I, the speech therapist, am going to help you. All what I want you to do is repeat this vowel sound. E.
Yeah.
And he's like, he. I'm like, are you serious? This is just supposed to make, this is like the Disney movie where... there's like a dirty joke that a kid right. wouldn't get. That's what that was, right? Yeah. And this couldn't actually be serious. This yeah. is the best they could do. They just want to make the adult who's supposed to be watching the kid watching the match laugh.
I guess, probably.
So bad.
So it didn't make you get any hotter to see the match, though? Were you willing Steamboat back from this injury?
Well, what sucks is that I watched the match first.
Right.
So I kind of ruined it. This is all like, oh, I got it. Now he's hurt. He's going to come back. So that was kind of a... the timeline was off, but
yeah, we'll get better at that.
Where would you compare the Ricky Steamboat behind the scenes recovery to the Hulk Hogan talking to Elizabeth in terms of the medical ridiculousness scene?
Hogan Liz is way worse. Like, please help her. You know, he's a crying at her bedside and everything. I mean, Steamboat, you can believe, you know, he's just throws crush. He's just trying to do whatever he can.
He tries really hard for a good 5 seconds.
Right.
He's like, and now I can't get it. He's just like, ah, pounding his fist. Like, ah, I'm going to get that savage.
I can't speak anymore. So then he makes his return at Saturday Night's main event.
He does. Against the doctor's wishes.
Right.
He's like, I don't think he should wrestle again. Because if he does, he might sustain further damage to his larynx. Or perhaps die. It's like he either could... the injury could get worse, or he might die.
Yeah, he could just die altogether.
But Ricky Steamboat's not a quitter.
No, he's not. So he comes out and saves George Steele. And then he comes out and attacks Savage. Or he's fighting the Iron Sheik, and Savage comes out and they're fighting. And then, of course, they go on to fight at WrestleMania 3, which we'll get to. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the match that we watched, and then we'll get into WrestleMania 3. So we watched the one from Toronto, Savage and Steamboat. You know, a match is very highly regarded. Their match at WrestleMania 3, which you'll see, is considered like one of the all-time greats. I don't think I'm spoiling anything for you by saying that.
Sweet.
And they've had matches on TV that are, or on at these house shows, that are considered to be just maybe a step behind or almost as good. Would you consider this one of the best matches you've seen, the Steamboat Savage match?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Significant in this one because he kept pulling Steamboat back.
Yeah,
I think it just like, is it just a thing with referees where they try to get the heel to make it easier? Because,
well, it's not to make the heel easier. I think it's just that they feel that, yeah, if a guy is like trapped in the corner or whatever, they try and pull him away for separation. Or if he's in the ropes, because you're not supposed to be able to attack someone when they're on the ropes.
Well, you see like a face win and then just get beat up by two or three heels all the time.
Yeah,
and now finally Savage wins. And Steamboat just keeps beating him up.
Oh, and they're pulling him off.
And they're pulling him away.
Yeah.
What's up with that? But yeah, the ramp was cool because they were like spilling out into the...
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you're walking down these tiny, like, you know, Miss Elizabeth needs bodyguards all
right,
the time
right.
and shit. It's like kind of lame.
All right. Any other thoughts on that match before we wrap up?
Well, Heenan was the commentator and I was kind of disappointed in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's such a great talker. Maybe he just wasn't into this match. Maybe he was being heckled by the
someone in Toronto. Yeah,
but he didn't talk very much. He kind of left Monsoon out to dry, and he just kept saying, "Oh, now he's got him. Now he's got him." And
interesting, they'll become one of the greatest commentary duos of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Eventually. Once Bobby kind of makes it more his full-time thing, which he does eventually.
Well, maybe he just was having a bad night. And then people were like, hey, you got to be more like Jesse. You got to be saying more stuff in there.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see.
We'll watch it develop. If you had to kind of put an order to these matches, how would you do it? We had Hogan, Orndorff. We had the six-man. We had Steel, Savage, the Hart Foundation, and Savage Steamboat.
All right, so the Killer Bees last place.
Yeah.
Even the amazing dropkick notwithstanding.
Okay.
I'd say my favorite was probably the six-man. And the problem with the Savage Steamboat match is that I watch on like a bootleg YouTube.
Yeah,
it's kind of grainy. Maybe if I was on like a big high def screen, it'd been nice. But I really liked the Hogan Orndorff match. It was, you know, because he already beat Bundy in the steel cage. Orndorff's been talking shit. It's like enough with that already. So that was probably 1 and 1A.
Okay. So, good selection of matches tonight, then. You were happy.
Yeah, I'm, like, super excited for WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, so that's good. They did their job. You're where you should have been in 1987.
Or you did your job.
That's right. I set you up nicely. So, WrestleMania 3 coming up. We'll do that next episode. We're going to watch the whole show. I'm not going to say we're going to talk about every match, but we'll at least touch on every match. So, pay attention to the whole show. And also, we're going to really, there's a deep dive video out there we're going to do as part of that on the Hogan-Andre feud that you're going to watch as well. It shows the whole evolution of that, how they get to that point. As an Andre fan, this is like your peak right here. This is peak Andre.
I'm actually both extremely excited and a little nervous because if I watch all this amazing Andre Hogan stuff and then watch WrestleMania 3, which is supposed to be like this incredible moment, what if it's just like the pinnacle? What if it's like 2004? For a wrestling fan.
No, it'll be... It's not the pinnacle. It's great. But we'll get to another pinnacle and another pinnacle as we move forward. There's more pinnacles. There's many pinnacles. That's what keeps you watching.
I trust you.
Do you want to keep going with this project?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you feeling...
No, I quit before WrestleMania 3. Take your stupid WWE subscription back. I don't want to watch.
Change your password. Are you feeling more comfortable and confident when you watch and talking about this? Like, because it seems like we're getting a little, you know, a little less questions about stuff. Are you starting to feel like you're understanding the basics and kind of seeing the progression and understanding match? You know, do you feel like you're getting into a position now where you're just more comfortable as a wrestling fan?
No, I still kind of feel like out of my element a little bit. I still have a lot of questions, but I have been kind of enthralled with the storylines. So there'll probably be future episodes where I'm asking you more particular questions. I've been, you know, I was in Portugal for a month.
Yep.
And this has been a couple busy weeks for me, but I'll probably be like skipping ahead on my own.
Okay.
Because like I'm just dying for the info.
Okay.
There's like so much to see.
Yeah. So we'll talk about scheduling, how the best way to do it. But again, I'm glad we're in the routine. We're in the you know, flow of things. We'll get to WrestleMania 3 again on the next episode. Be sure to check out the archive. This is the first time you're checking out this show. It's all available to you on the PlayStation Wrestling feed on iTunes. We have other feeds as well, PlayStation Pop and Pro Wrestling Only. Subscribe, leave us feedback, rate us on iTunes, shop online with us, PlayStation.com/Amazon, and post in the comments as well, PlayStation.com. Each thread has its own comments embedded. You can join the conversation there each and every night and day, and specific posts or general posts. So check that all out. I am JT. That's Jeffrey. We'll be back probably in a couple weeks talking WrestleMania 3.